Let us pray. Holy One, we seek your wisdom in the words of Scripture, in the gathering of these, your people. Let us hear your words through all that happens this day. Amen. Consider the lilies of the field. They neither shop nor diet. Yet a supermodel in all her finery is not arrayed like one of these. Consider the birds of the air. They neither watch gourmet cooking shows, nor do they worry if their worms are as fancy as some other birds' worms. Yet God finds food for them. These birds neither sow nor reap. They do not plan late into the night for the next season or the next. And yet they are beautiful. Consider that you are beautiful. Worry and anxiety is the curse of the 21st century, or perhaps it's always been our curse. Now we just have drugs for it. In the middle of this creation season, refugees are struggling to find passage, and we feel like we're in the middle of two elections. A Canadian election that has turned from a battle over economics to a battle over compassion, and an American election that haunts our nightmares, in which Donald Trump comes to rule one of Earth's most powerful nations. And we worry about both important things and silly things. I really should have had a touch of lipstick in that picture, for example. And we have other worries. We have worries about our children, about our health, about our families, worries about jobs and future. And Jesus says, these are real concerns, but. And in the midst of all of that, we read this passage because in some ways it's almost lighthearted. Do not worry about tomorrow. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And they are beautiful. Consider that you also are beautiful. Jesus was speaking to people much less secure than we are, who genuinely had to wonder if there would be food tomorrow, whose bodies were scarred by disease and lack of medical care and war, who likely were not pretty by our standards as a result. And Jesus says, do not worry about what you look like and what you should wear. Consider that you are beautiful. Consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. That just rankles our cultural souls, doesn't it? We've been taught our whole lives to worry about tomorrow, to sow and to reap and to gather into barns, to plan for the future, to save our money so we can have those clothes and have the right food and array our homes like the castles of Solomon. And that's what it means in our culture to be a good person. A good citizen. We are told to worry about the money and to spend it. Save, spend, borrow so you can save more on the next sale. You know that tagline, the more you spend, the more you save? It's not true. We're told to worry about our appearance, and the way out of that worry is to spend. Consider instead that you are beautiful. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, do not worry about your life. There is no easier way to control people than to make them afraid, afraid of one another, afraid of the future, afraid of loss, afraid they will be left out and isolated by their appearance or by actions that challenge. And fearful people, anxious people, can be manipulated into doing things even against their own interest. And into that kind of idea come these words, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And the day of judgment is not that end time. The day of judgment is always upon us. It is today, and yet we are not to worry about it. A colleague of mine said the United Church has become too often a church of waiting and worrying. We wait with our hands out for someone else to give us the money we think we need to do what is right and good. And as Canadians, we often are the same. We often feel we cannot act in compassion without the help of government. The early Christian community had none of that. Little wealth, no security, no government who would give them a grant. Only them. Person by person, penny by penny, they did amazing and incredible things. They taught both language and Bible. There are biblical stories of how they taught people to prepare meals for hundreds, how they traveled, how they built communities, how they became known for actions and compassion, for how they helped one another and the communities where they lived. They taught the original family values, not the ones you might hear about too often. The original family values meant that everyone you saw before you was your brother and your sister. Your task was to treat them that way. There is no more terrible worry in the world than the hopelessness of thinking that there's nothing you can do. We have an epidemic of insomnia, because people lie awake worrying about what to do tomorrow, and an epidemic of depression and anxiety. And anti-anxiety medications have sales that outstrip medications for heart and cancer medications combined. Consider that you are beautiful. Often the decisions we are stressing most about are the ones that are least important. But there is a call to us. When you are trying to make a decision, when you feel like you have no idea what to do, when you are worrying about how you look or what to wear or what will happen tomorrow, work first for the kingdom of God. And don't think of this as something extra to add on to what you're already doing it. Think of it as the simplification of decision making. Think of it not as a trial, but as a walk in the field with the lilies and the birds. The means is here among us, for God is with us. All we do and are is dependent on God. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. The concerns of the day are enough for the day. We know that if we build the kingdom of God by building compassionate community, by being compassionate with one another, by loving those who come knocking on our doors, then whatever the stresses, whatever the dangers that come tomorrow, we have operated on a foundation of hope. There's a local ethicist, Christian ethicist, medical ethicist. His name is Terry Anderson. He was my teacher. And Terry says that the foundation of ethical behavior is hope. The foundation of ethical behavior is hope. The foundation of compassion is hope. And our hope is in Christ. Our dependence is on God, and God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. For no one has ever seen God, But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. The expression of this beauty in the world is our way to peace. The people who have brought beauty to my own life have not brought it because they were model perfect. They brought me beauty, the way a child brings beauty to our lives through their discovery of the world anew, or an old woman brings beauty to my life by describing the life in ways that I have not yet understood. Consider that you are beautiful. As a mother bends over a baby whose face is scrunched and whose fists wave about unknowing, God bends over each one of us, knowing that we are beautiful. And Solomon's glorious finery was nothing to the gift of beauty which God has given us. Let us live in the knowledge. Amen.